You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of a Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
In this short verse of Psalm 25 and verse number 5, the psalmist reveals three traits that I believe young people should demonstrate if they have a personal, daily, and sincere relationship with God. If you have, again, a personal, daily, and sincere relationship with God as a young man, a young woman, or as an adult, this verse will reveal three truths that we should see in your life. Number one, I want you to notice that the psalmist had a desire to be led by God. For the text says from the psalmist, "Lead me in your truth." The psalmist desired that his God would lead him, guide him on a daily basis. And this is important, especially for young people. Because when I look at the state of many young people in the church as well as outside the church, many young people, not all, but many, are persuaded more so by the world, the trends of the world, their feelings, and their peers, but not the psalmist. The psalmist wants his God to lead him. Lord, I want you to persuade me how I should think, talk, and act. Lord, I want you to influence me on how I should think, talk, and act. Lord, I want you to direct me on how I should help me think, talk, and act. What a time we live in when so many young people want to be influenced, directed, and persuaded by celebrities. When you have young people more in touch with their feelings than they are in touch with their God. But not the psalmist. The psalmist here in Psalm 25 and 5, he wants his God to guide him. And I'm going to tell you something. That should be our testimony. If we are truly faith walkers, if we are truly trendsetters, we should want God to influence us more than anybody. We should want our God to direct us more so than what's on social media. Our thoughts, our opinions, our beliefs, I believe should be influenced primarily, notice what the psalmist says, by truth. Lead me by your truth, Lord. Truth, young people, biblically speaking, has a number of meanings. And these meanings should not only be found in the Bible, but they should be seen in our life. Are y'all still with me? Lead me, first of all, Jesus. Because when you talk about truth, that's truth, according to John 14 and 6. I want Jesus to lead me. Jesus said, "He is the way." Help me out. The truth and the life. Lord, I don't want LeBron to direct me. I want Jesus to direct me. Lord, I don't want to be persuaded by young boy. I want Jesus to persuade me. Lord, I don't want the latest trends to get a hold to how I feel. I want Jesus to get a hold to how I feel. I don't want to give control to anybody else but Jesus. Paul said, it is in him, young people, that we live. It is in him that we move. It is in him that we have our being. Paul went so far, young people, to say that in him we are complete. Jesus is the one who completes us, and we should allow him to direct us. If I'm right, somebody shout, he right about it. But then when you consider John 17 and 17, young people, truth is also the word. For Jesus taught his disciples in John 17, 17, sanctify them by your word. Your word, or sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so when I'm saying I want God to direct me or to lead me, I'm saying, Lord, I want to do according to your word. And we know the word, young people, comes in two forms, the written word and the revealed word. And see, we're living in a time where you got two types of people. You got two types of people. The first type of person is someone who is not excited about the word. You know, you got some young folk, they will fall asleep on the word. The word don't move them. The word don't excite them. The word don't cause them to want to step out and do what God's word says. But then you got some other type young folk, they got a hunger and a thirst for the word. They realize they cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so I'm wondering this morning, what type of young folk am I preaching to? Am I preaching and teaching the young folk that like the word, or am I teaching and preaching the young folk that despise the word? Which one of you? Do you love the word? Do you have to have the word? Do you want the word to guide you, or do you neglect the word? The word don't move you. You rather be at home. You rather be in the bed. And if you're really bold, you'll fall asleep in church. I understand you got two types of folk, folk that want the word and folk that reject the word. And the psalmist said, lead me according to your truth. Lord, I need the preacher to give me a word that's going to tell me my next steps. Lord, I need you to show me in the written word how you think of myself. Lord, I got to have your word. And regardless of how y'all feel about it, I've been saved over 25 years and I'm still in love with the word. Even when it steps on my toes, even when it checks me, rebukes me, I still need the word because I can't live without the word. And so if you're that type of person, say, lead me by your word. And so the word again has to do with Jesus. The word has to do with, or truth has to do with Jesus. It has to do with the word. But then most importantly, truth, young people, has to do with the Holy Spirit. Truth has to do with the Holy Spirit. John 16 and 13, I can quote it, but let's go there. Let's go there and look at it. So truth, you know, is first of all who? Jesus. Second of all is the word. And thirdly, truth is? All right, let's go to John 16, 13. And notice what Jesus teaches. He says, however, when he, notice, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you and I into all truth. Truth is what makes us free, young people. Truth is what makes us happy. Truth is what delivers us. Truth is what we need. And so I need the Spirit of truth dwelling on the inside of me. Because when mama ain't around, the Spirit of truth can give me direction. When the pastor ain't around, the Spirit of truth can tell me what to do and what not to do. The Spirit of truth will tell me everything. He will guide me into all truth, not just church things, but the Spirit of truth will tell me how much to tip my waiter. The Spirit of truth will tell me what artists I should and should not listen to. The Spirit of Truth will tell me what I should buy and what I should wait on because I can get it at a better price. The Spirit of Truth will tell me who should be my friend and who should not be my friend. He will guide us into all helpment, all truth. That's why, young people, being saved, I say it all the time, is not enough. Being saved is the first gift. But the second gift, according to Acts 2, young people, is receiving the Holy Spirit on the inside with the initial evidence of speaking in a heavenly language. You're not too young to receive the Holy Spirit. And once you get him on the inside of you, according to John 16:13, he'll guide you. He'll tell you what you need to be doing in your junior and senior year of high school. He'll guide you. He'll tell you where you need to go to get your first job. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll tell you how you can go about getting your first or second call. He will guide you and I into how much truth? All truth. Lord, I need a breakthrough. He'll tell you how much money to put on the altar. Oh, Lord, I'm having problems with this. He'll tell you how to solve that problem. I don't know anybody like the Holy Spirit. I don't know anybody that knows everything. Nobody save God. And this is the psalmist. He's saying, guide me, lead me. Jesus, lead me. Word, lead me. Holy Spirit, lead me according to truth. Now, I got to say this because I want you to have an understanding that we're in a time right now, young people, where what I'm teaching, many folk don't want. Folk do not want, or some folk do not want the truth. They don't want Jesus. They don't want the word. And they don't want the Holy Spirit. We're in that time right now. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I got to show y'all this. Y'all still with me? Again, we're looking at this first truth that you should see in a person that's a faith walker or has a sincere, daily, and a personal relationship with God. I got to show y'all this. Look at 2 Timothy 4. Y'all stay focused. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, y'all reading with me. But according to their own desires. Remember how I said you got people that's more in tune with their feelings, what they want? He says that according to their own desire, because they have helped me itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, young folk. Verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to help me fables or lies. He said there's going to come a time where you're going to have young people and grown folk. They don't want to hear truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear what they want to hear. You got some young folk. They come to church where the word is coming forth in the prayer, in the song, and in the message. But they turn away from the truth. They'd rather be on TikTok. And you got some young folk that come to a church as such, and they'll be at their chair on TikTok. Got the subtitles on. Can't even hear it, but they don't want to hear the truth. They'll be reading the subtitle while service is going on. Or be in the church, but their mind is somewhere else. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. They would rather be at home on social media, hanging out with their friends. They'd rather be listening to some lies, something that's not going to help them to be productive. Not just in one aspect, but in every aspect. And we're in that day right now. We're in that day right now. Folks are saying, I don't want to go to no church. But failing to understand that every church ain't God's church. But when it's God's church, you got folks. They don't want to hear that. Grown folk and young folk have that spirit right now. Young folk, you don't ever want to get down. Look at somebody say, you don't ever, 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 ever want to get down. You should always have a desire to be led by truth. And what is truth? Help me out. Truth is Jesus. Truth is the Word. And truth is the Holy Spirit. The second thing he reveals in our text is that he has a desire to be taught. He said, lead me in your truth. And then he says, and teach me. What a relevant word for young people in our day and time. Where you have so many young people that feel like they know it all. You can't tell them nothing. Or if you try to tell them something, I know that. You old school. I ain't listening to you. See, the Bible says that toward the end of time, knowledge would increase. And you see it with young folk. Young folk got so much knowledge. So much knowledge. But listen, young folk, the type of knowledge that you and I need is divine knowledge. You don't ever want to get the type of spirit where can't nobody teach you. Baby, you 15, you 18, you don't know it all. When you get to your 30s, guess what? You still ain't going to know it all. When you make it to your 40s and 50s, you still ain't going to know it all. Always be teachable. And that's the psalmist. He said, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Yeah. Give me constant instruction. I'm going to church so I can be taught. I'm listening to mama, daddy, because I need to be taught. I can always get around young people, and for a few minutes, I can tell if they have been taught. Yeah, you can tell it. It's not hard. You can tell if a young person is being taught. Now, whether they put it into action, what they're being taught is another thing. We always need to carry ourselves like we've been taught. Am I right about it? And so the psalmist says something that young people need to hear in our day and time. Teach me, Lord. Teach me how to handle money. Teach me how to be respectful. Teach me how to be on time. Teach me, Lord, how to be a true worshiper. How is it that you got young folk that don't want to be taught? How many want to be taught in here? By a show of hands. I want to be taught. I don't want to play the fool. I don't want to be nobody's fool. Brainwash me, Lord. Wash my brain. How many know sometimes you have to be untaught and then be retaught? And there's nothing like being taught by the word. The Bible, young people, describes the word as water. And how we are washed by the word. Brainwash me. Wash my mind, Lord. Transform me. Do it. Teach me. I'm willing. I'll be still. Rub me raw. Get all my spots. Teach me, Lord. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. I got to show you something else. 2 Timothy 3. Lord have mercy. Got a quiet audience. That mean y'all listening? All right. 2 Timothy 3. Always be teachable. Be just like a sponge. Soak up good teaching. Notice what type teaching Paul talks about to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 8. He says, now as Janus and Jambres resisted Moses. Now, Moses was the pastor. And these two men, what did they do? They resisted him. So do these also resist the truth? In other words, these two men, when Moses was teaching them, they rejected what Moses was teaching them. They rejected it. You don't want to be like that. The primary way God will teach us his will, his way, young folk, is through his shepherds. And so you don't want to grow up being the type of young person that resists or rejects what your pastor is teaching you. It's just like for the past several weeks, the Lord has been using your pastor to teach you about having a personal, daily, and sincere relationship with God. Now, if you've been resisting that teaching or rejecting it, you haven't made no changes. But if you've been receiving the word, you should see a change in your life for the better. That says about you that you are allowing truth to be engrafted in you, to get planted in you, to get a part of your thinking, talking, and your actions. Don't be like these two men, young folk, and reject pastoral truth. Your shepherd, according to the Bible, is a gift to you. And God gives good and perfect gifts. And one particular reason God gives a shepherd to the church is to teach them constantly or feed them constantly with knowledge and understanding. You come up here at least for a month, you're going to be getting something that's going to help you to be a better young woman. You're going to get some truth that's going to help you to be a better young man. The question is, are you receiving it or are you resisting it? Are you receiving it or are you rejecting it? I got to show you what Job said. Let's go to Job. Y'all still with me? All right. Job 34. So we see this psalmist, he wanted his God to lead him. He wanted his God to teach him. Now let's see what brother Job said about God teaching. Job 34:32. Teach me what I do not see or understand. If I have done iniquity or sin, I will do no more. What is he saying, young people? Once you've been taught what to do, once you have been taught, then your mindset should be, I ain't gonna sin no more. Once I've been taught what the Bible says about my life, I'm going to strive now not to do wrong. It's an old saying that's got some truth to it. Once you know better, you do better. How many had that mindset? Once you teach me better, then I'm going to what? Do better. One of the most saddest things to see is young folk that have been taught, but they don't change. You've been taught how to praise God, but you still won't praise him. Boy, that's jacked up. You've been taught how to be respectful, but you still like being disrespectful. Help me out. Say, that's jacked up. You've been taught how to give, but you choose to rob God. Help me out. That's jacked up. Job said that's iniquity, that's sin. But I want to give a contemporary synonymous word. Say, that's jacked up. That's messed up. Because a person sins when they know to do right, but they don't do it. So you have to ask yourself, young folk, have I been taught to do right in some areas, but I still want to do what I want to do? If that's you, that's sin. And the wages of sin, young folk, you ought to help me, is death. It's death. I want to be taught. I want to be taught. And once I get taught, you're going to see me do what I've been taught. As a pastor, that's what I expect. Once I teach you something, I expect you to do what you've been taught. Y'all with me? Yeah. Once I teach you how to drive, you should do based upon what I taught you. Once I teach you how to act when I'm not around, I expect you to act that way when I'm not what? Not around. I love this. Once I've been taught, should I do iniquity anymore? No. No, I should do based upon how I've been taught. How many received that by a show of hands? And what I really want to deal with is what the psalmist reveals, the third truth. He says, God, lead me in your truth. Then he says, young people, teach me. He says, for you are the God of my salvation. The psalmist recognized that his God was not just a God of salvation, but his salvation. And young folk in our day and time, you need to understand, God wants to be the God of your salvation. Your salvation. We know that salvation has to do with protection. Come on. Deliverance and what? Prosperity. God needs to be our source, young folk. God needs to be the source of our salvation. That has to be the mindset. If I'm going to come out of a predicament, God going to have to bring me out. If I'm going to experience better, God is going to have to come from you. If a way is going to be made in my life, God, I need you to make the way. One thing I pray y'all don't get caught up in, young people, is trying to do everything in life on your own. Amen. There are just certain things that are just bigger than us. There are just certain things that we don't have the intelligence or the power to do on our own. That's when you need to have a personal, daily, and a sincere relationship with God so he can be the God of your salvation. Because I'm telling you, young folk, there are things that have come your way that you can't fix, you can't solve in and of yourself. There are some spirits that will attack you. You can take a cold shower and you still ain't gonna come out. There are some things that you can see that can get a hold to your heart that if God don't deliver you, you'll be in bondage. And so your mindset needs to be, Lord, you are my salvation. I don't have to do this, that, and the other. Say, you lead me. You are the God of my salvation. Why is this so? Notice right here on the wall, Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus, young folk. There's no other name that comes salvation except through Jesus. Jesus' name means salvation, deliverer. And so you got to have the mindset, salvation ain't gonna come through no other name, but through the name of, help me, Jesus. Salvation ain't gonna come through the name of your college or university. Salvation comes only through the name of Jesus. Salvation ain't gonna come through the job. It'll come through the name of Jesus. Now, can God use your college or university? Yeah. Can God use your job? Yeah. But if he don't want to use them, that's his business. But we need to understand, young people, the source of our deliverance, protection, and prosperity is in the name of Jesus. It's in that name of Jesus. When you need relief, when you need deliverance from depression, it's not going to come in the name of marijuana. It's not going to come in the name of a gummy. No, no, it's not going to come in the name of Percocet. It's not going to come in the name of Oxycontin. No, it comes in the name of Jesus. When you're looking for acceptance and love, it's not going to come in the name of sex. It's not going to come in the name of affection. It's not going to come in the name of pornography. It's going to come in the name of Jesus. No other name given to men under heaven by where we must be saved. Boy, when I look at my life, I see that that name works. I can see that God has delivered me. I can see that God is protecting me. And I can see that God is prospering me. Young people, you should be able to see salvation working in your life. You need to be able to look in your life and see that Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Are you the same person that you used to be? When I look in my life, I know that God has changed me. I know that He is the God of my salvation. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't treat folk the way I used to treat folk. I have been changed because He is the God of my salvation. Paul said it like this, young folk. If any man be in Christ, you should be able to look, behold, and see some things, that all things have become new. Yeah. Old things have passed away. You should be able to look at your life and see that you are changed. You should be able to look in your life and see salvation is working. It's working. I don't talk or act the way I used to. See, I'm getting happy. I'm getting excited. Some of y'all ain't saying nothing, but when I think about how God has delivered me, when I think about from where I came and where I am now, I know He is the God of my salvation. Man, I was just sitting at home just thanking God from where I came from to where He has me right now. And what am I saying? Again, young people, you should be able to look at your life and see a miracle. You should be able to look at your life and see salvation. Thank God for what He's doing in grandma's life. Thank God for what He's doing in your parents' life. But you need to see God working in your life. You need to see it. You need to look at yourself. Man, am I being saved? Is God delivered me? Or do I still do what I used to do? How many know He's changed you by a show of hands? Oh, and it's not just in church. I'm talking outside of church, too. I don't listen to what I used to listen to. I used to listen to some nasty, vulgar, disrespectful, ungodly, demonic music and would say, that's my jam. Yeah, that's what I would say. That's my jam. Be dancing the stuff that was promoting murder, violence to women, sex, drug use, things that would kill me. That's what I would let entertain me. But I've been changed now. Woo! Look at somebody say he been changed. But it shouldn't just be the pastor. It should be you. Look, young folk, you don't let anyone trick you into obeying the truth or to allowing salvation to work in your life. You let God keep causing you to grow and mature. How many understand? Somebody ought to shout praise the Lord. But you just shouldn't see salvation working in your life, young people. When you are in need of things, when you have goals in life, you should expect salvation to come from your God. Amen. The psalmist said, we look to the hills, young folk, from which come our help. When you need things done in your life, when you need God's salvation, let me tell you something, young folk, you can't hurry God up. He gonna do things how he want, and he gonna do things when he want. We just have to remain in the mode of expectation for his salvation. You have to be to the point to where you just say, I'm willing to wait on you, Lord, to prosper me. I'm willing to wait on you, Lord, to do what you promised in your word. Even though I may have to go through some things to get to where I desire to go, I'm still willing, Lord, to just go through the process and wait on you. See, so many grown folk and young folk get in a hurry. Yeah. They get in a hurry and want to try to hurry God along. But the Bible tells us that we should never cast away our confidence. Yeah, we are in need of endurance. That after you have done the will of God, then you might receive the promise. I want to talk to young folk that have desires. You're believing God for his promises, for his salvation. The psalmist tells us when it came to him expecting the salvation of the Lord, he said, Lord, I wait on you all the day. No matter what I go through, Lord, I'm not going to move to the left. I'm not going to move to the right. I'm just going to wait on you. You'll tell me when to step. You'll tell me when to possess. You'll tell me when to spend it. You'll tell me how to save it. You'll tell me everything that I need to know to get your salvation. I'm just going to wait all the day. Listen to me, young folk. When you look at people like Daniel, when you look at people like the Hebrew boys, when you look at people like Joseph, and others, David, in their youth, they were expecting salvation from the Lord. But you know what they all had in common? They weren't doing nothing until God told them to do. And then they experienced the salvation of the Lord. Yeah, that's how we need to be. We need to just stay in the will of God until he manifests his salvation. Are y'all still with me? Don't try to get to the point in your life as a young adult, an adult, or even a young person that's learning the ways of God, to where when you don't see things going the way you desire them to go, things are not happening on your timetable, it's time just to take a step back and just, Lord, I want you to do it. I'm not going to get ahead of you. I'm going to stay right behind you because you leading me, you teaching me, and I'm looking for your salvation. Are y'all still with me? Maybe I'm just talking to myself. No, you are the God of my salvation. If I'm going to get the job, Lord, it's going to be because of you. If I'm going to drive my desire, it's going to be because of you. If I'm going to go on this vacation, it's going to be because of you. If my credit, my account is going to get better, it's going to be because of you. If I'm going to possess houses and land, it's going to be because of you. So I'm just going to wait all the day. I'm just going to stay in your will. Wait don't mean do nothing. Look at somebody say, wait don't mean do nothing. No. Wait just means to patiently expect. You just stay in the will of God, doing what he told you to do until he manifests what he promised. If he told you he was going to make a way for you to go to school with a scholarship, you just keep being productive in your grades. You keep filling out the necessary paperwork. You keep sending it out. And you just let God be God. If he told you he was going to do a particular thing for you, the Bible says he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. You just stay expecting. You just keep doing what he told you to do. If your directions, look, I need you to pray every day at this time. Guess what you do? At that time, you just what? Pray. If he told you, look, I want you to put this on the altar, you keep putting that on the altar until he manifests the promise. I'm just going to patiently expect. Woo! I'm thinking about what he going to do. I'm talking about what he going to do. And I'm staying in his will. I'm not going to try to make something happen. I'm not going to try to do it on my own. I'm just going to stay in his will and expect. It's just like them Hebrew boys. They said, well, we ain't bowing down. Our God told us not to bow down. Now, if you want to throw us in the fire, then you just have to throw us in the fire. But we ain't going to what? Bow down. Then they said, because the God we serve, he is able to deliver us. He's able to give us salvation. He's able to deliver us. And so the king called him on it and threw him in the furnace. Threw him in the furnace, lit the furnace 7 times hotter, threw him in the furnace, but they still didn't what? Still didn't bow down. Looked in the furnace and seen God was protecting them. Then he pulled them out, and then God used the very king that tried to kill them to prosper them. All along, them Hebrew boys who we call, they were just patiently expecting God's salvation. Young people, no matter what you or your family is going through, you stand on truth. You stand on his word. Because God is not a liar. He would do exactly what he said he would do. I know for me, sometimes just being patient and waiting on God can be a challenge to my flesh. But how many know one of the fruits of the Spirit? It's patience. It's endurance. Yeah. And so when you are expecting salvation, you just got to let God do what he want to do. Take us through what he want to take us through. Lord have mercy. Look at what Job said. Y'all look right here. Y'all write this down. I love this verse. Job 14:14. Job said, all the days of my hard service, what will he do? I will wait till my change comes. I'm just going to be patient, Lord. I'm going all through what I'm going through, but I'm just going to wait till my change come, Lord. You told me you was going to do something in my life. I'm not going to be moved by what's happening in other people's life. I'm just going to stay in your will. Because sometimes, young people, listen, what you desire can be happening in somebody else's life. You can be looking at their life and trying to compare, but don't you covet. Don't you be jealous. You be happy for them and you just stay in the will of God. Yeah, because it may happen for somebody else first. But then 2 years or 2 months down the line or 2 weeks down the line, it'll be your turn. But if you get out of the will of God, if you get impatient, you can mess up what God desires to manifest in your life. Look at somebody and say, you got to wait till your change comes. Yeah, you just got to wait. You got to keep thinking, talking, and acting according to God's word until everything he told you manifests in your life. Yeah, in my close, let's look at a couple of truths about waiting on the salvation of the Lord. I'm getting myself happy on this teaching. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Let's go to Lamentations. Just go on and find Jeremiah. And it's the next book after Jeremiah. You are the God of my salvation. So I'm just going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you, Lord, till you do what you told me you was going to do. I'm just going to keep expecting. I'm going to stay in the wheel until you do what you told me you were going to do. Lamentations 3:26. Is this helping anybody? All right. Lamentations 3:26. The author said, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is, help me. Y'all didn't read that right. Y'all, I need y'all to get country. It is, it's what? Good. That one should hope and wait how? For the salvation of the Lord. What I want you to see in this verse is that it's good to wait on God. To wait on his will to manifest in your life. It's beneficial. First of all, to you. If you just stay in God's will till he do what he promised, that's beneficial for you. Yeah. You won't shipwreck. You won't get out the wheel and then have to go through it again later. It's beneficial for you. He said that one should hope, have some expectation. Hope for what you don't see, young folk. You don't see it, but that's real hope. And then he says to wait quietly. That don't mean sit there and not say nothing. No, it means quit complaining. Stop grumbling. Talk about what God can do and not what's not happening. Go ahead and say, ooh, one day God gonna do what he said because I'm doing what he told me to do. It's good. It's beneficial. But also, young people, good means pleasurable. It's pleasing to God when we wait on him because it's a faith. It's a faith thing. And how many know without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when I'm waiting on him, I'm pleasing him. When I'm waiting on him by faith and according to his word, what I'm expecting him to do, what he said, and I'm thinking, talking, and acting according to what he told me, I'm pleasing him. Even though you don't feel like it, young folk, you're pleasing him. When you praise him and count it all joy in the midst of your trial, you know what? That pleases him. When you're loyal in bringing him his tithe and offering, when you're going through something financial, guess what? That pleases him. When you're dedicated to your auxiliary, you keep coming to church, serving God, even though things aren't popping off the way you desire them to pop off, that, help me, pleases him. And see, when we're diligent, that's when those rewards come. Y'all still understand it? So remember, waiting on God is a good thing. Waiting on his salvation is a good thing. Yes, it's a good thing. I love that. Isaiah, last verse. Isaiah 25 and verse number 9. The prophet says, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. Look at this. And he will save us. See, you got to wait on God to do things and know that he's going to save. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. When it comes to waiting on God's salvation, young folk, you got to be happy in the midst of what you're going through. You have to learn how to rejoice in his salvation. You got to learn how to be happy. You got to learn how to get your praise on while God is slowly but surely unfolding his promises in your life. Have you ever got to the point to where you got frustrated with God? Where you got to the point as someone that wanted him to do something, but you was just so frustrated. Bottom line, you got in the flesh. No, you don't do that. We don't need to do that. We need to just start rejoicing. Start giving God the praise. Lord, I'm not working where I want to work, but I know you heard me when I asked you to bless me with a better job. And I know everyone that asks will receive. I'm rejoicing right now while I'm waiting on you to tell me my next move. I'm happy about it. I'm going to rejoice in the church and I'm going to rejoice outside the church. He says, rejoice in his salvation. And I want to encourage someone here on this morning. As you grow in God, stay happy until he does what he wants you to do, what you want him to do. And then once he does it, you still be happy. You're happy before, you're happy during, and you're happy after. That's why the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at what? At all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Before he manifests his salvation, while he's working things out for my good, and after he manifests salvation in my life, I'm still going to bless his name. I'm still going to give him the praise. Where are the young folk, the young adults, and the grown folk that still got a praise on the inside while you're waiting for God to manifest what he promised? How many know he's the God of your salvation by a show of hands? And you know that if he's the God of your salvation, he's going to do everything that he promised. How many understand, young people? Matter of fact, he's going to do everything that he promised plus. How many know we serve a plus God? Yeah, he's going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or think. Somebody better receive that rhema right there. You've been expecting one thing, but we serve a plus God. And I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for being the God of our salvation.